hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Isn't it good to be free? Yes. I'm working with a guy at the moment, and he's on a journey of, you could say he's been really bound in his life to certain ways of thinking, especially about church and God and things like that. And he asked me that question the other day. He goes, so what's the goal here? Like, why do I meet with you? And I went, that's a great question. Let's go there. I used this word to describe our journey together. I said, it's freedom. I said, it's about you coming into the freedom that God has for you. And I've been in pastoral ministry for around 20, a whole lot of time. And so I've journeyed with a lot of people who have been bound in their thinking and their spirituality and how they think about themselves and how they think about how they relate to others, how they relate to God, and seen people find that freedom that can only come in Christ. And so that's where we're going tonight. And we're going into an area and we're going to go pretty hard, pretty quick, pretty deep. So be prepared, strap yourself in. Here we go. It's going to be about 15, 20 minutes of sort of intense session, okay? So let's go there. Why is it intense? It's intense because we're talking about our identity and who we are, who we see ourselves to be, and what does it look like to have Christ's freedom around our identity? Why is that intense? Why do you kind of have to strap yourself in for this one? Because you live out of your identity. How you think about yourself is how you live the life around you. The choices that you make around how you dress, what activities you do, who you'll marry, what career you'll do, will be very much shaped by how you think about yourself. If you don't think very highly about yourself, or you're thinking about your identity, shall we put it this way, is not lined up with the way that God thinks about you, then you'll live a life less than what God has for you, right? Just makes sense. So how we think about ourselves, how our identity, who God says we are, and aligning ourselves with that actually really matters. When we align ourselves with who God says we are, we experience freedom. When we don't align ourselves with who God says we are in spiritual bondage. There's one or the other. There's no fence on this one, okay? There's no sitting on the fence. You're either on one side or the other. Now, there's a journey that we can go on where we go from one side to another, but there are those two sides. We're either in bondage or we're in freedom. And I pray tonight that as I share and as God speaks to your heart, that we go on that journey where we become clearer on what that freedom looks like. Many years ago, I was a youth pastor in Dunedin, and one of the young people in our youth group was really struggled in this area of identity to the point where she had anorexia. And Ginny and I just journeyed with her in that battle that she had with anorexia. And I want you to think about knowing or going on that journey with someone who has bound their mind to that way of thinking. And just to sort of anchor this in your mind, we're going to put an image on the screen of what that looks like with someone with anorexia. Now, that may be a bit shocking to you. Can we have that up? Yeah. And you kind of look at that and you think, okay, it's not normal to see all the ribs in the spine and your back and things like that. And you look at someone who has anorexia, this particular girl, her face was really gaunt, her cheeks were like indented unnecessarily, and you're just like, oh, you know, her wrists and her arms were just skin and bone. And I want you to think about this. If they were your friend, what would be your attitude towards them? You can actually give me some feedback on that one. Like, how would you respond to that? Would you be judgmental? Like, would you go, oh, you know, oh, you, man, you're not much of a person, literally, you know? Like, would you be that judgmental? Would you be horrible like that? No, you wouldn't be, would you? Like, I think you would be, like Jenny and I were to our friend in our youth group then, you'd have compassion, right? Is that true? Okay, great. I'm pleased about that. Because if you didn't answer like that, this might be a bit hard. Here's the thing, is we all look at someone like this, and we know that they are believing a lie that they are fat. Okay, they're not fat, but they believe that. And their whole identity, their whole life, every choice they make is shaped by that one lie. And we go, and everything in us is going, oh, if they would only give up that lie and believe the truth, that they are beautiful, that they are actually underweight, not overweight. Like, do you know what I mean? They would find freedom, right? That's what we would feel. That would be what we would want to communicate to them. Here's a shock for you tonight. The way that you feel towards that person, that friend with anorexia, is the same way that God feels about you right now. And you're going, whoa, hang on a minute. What do you mean by that? Because I don't have anorexia. I don't think that way. But hang on a minute. That's just one example of someone believing what is not true about themselves. And God looks at us with compassion because we all believe things that are not true about who we are. And His love and His compassion goes out to us and it breaks His heart. Because He goes, if only you would see yourself for who you are. If only you would understand that you're believing a lie and believe what I say about you. Your identity has been shaped by unique experiences around your life, and in particular, the conclusions that you have come to about those experiences. What your parents have said, what your peers have said, what your employer has said about you, what your professors said about you and a marking a grade or whatever, and you've... In all those life experiences, you've developed certain conclusions about who you are based on what they've said. Now, is what they've said true? Well, it might be, it may not be, but I can guarantee you this, that none of us have a true revelation of who we really are. How can I be so sure of that? Because none of us live in a perfect world. None of us live in the world that God created. See, when God created the world, when God created Adam and Eve, when He created a perfect world, this is how He planned it to go. He thought that we would be connected with Him and we would receive directly from Him that we are loved, that we are valuable, that we are treasured, that we're precious, that we're treasured. That we'll do something significant and have purpose for our lives, that we'd internalize that directly from Him. That as we grow up as children, it would be reinforced from our parents because they would know Him and they would be His agents of passing on how valuable, how loved, how precious we are. And then all our friends, of course, are so connected to God and speaking God's righteousness and God's truth into our lives, and when we do something dumb, they just go, oh, look, it doesn't matter, God loves you, you know, you're cool, you'll get there, it's all good. And what I've just described is the complete opposite to what actually happens, isn't it? The truth is, we're disconnected from God right from our birth, because we're born in sin. We have wonderful, you might have wonderful parents, but they're not perfect. And they would have said some things in your life that you go, oh man, that was a bit harsh. And you internalized something where you devalued yourself. And then we get to our peers, man, then it just completely goes to custard, doesn't it? Especially in high school. So we form these images of ourselves that are not actually true. An example of this recently, last year, I was talking to a girl after church, and she was there with her fiance, and the issue in their relationship was, he said, look, she just can't accept that I love her. And I went, so they desperately wanted to develop their relationship further. They were looking at getting married, but this was, of course, it's a pretty major sticking point, you know, because he's going, I love you, you know, and you're wonderful and you're beautiful and all this sort of thing. And she's going, nah, don't believe you. It kind of affects the relationship somewhat, you see. This is where identity shapes our lives, you see. And so anyway, I was talking about, we're talking together, and I said to her, I said, look, why don't you think you're worth loving? And she, and it, we kind of went roundabout on this, but where we landed was this. She said, I'm not beautiful. I'm not beautiful. And I went, well, hang on a minute. You've got a guy here who really thinks you're beautiful, and he tells you you're beautiful. So how can you not receive the truth of that? But she had struggled with eczema, actually, for much of her life, and there were still some scars on her skin from that eczema, and she believed that she was not beautiful. Now, can you see how believing a lie about who you are dramatically affects your life? And get this, we actually can't receive love till we own up to that lie and we abandon it. See, she couldn't receive love from a guy who wanted to give it to her because of her own self-perception, because of the distorted image that, or the conclusion that she had come to about herself. Now, here's the thing. I'm using a few extreme examples here, but here's the thing. Is we're all like that. You may have a very confident self-image and you think you're the bee's knees and that you can conquer the world. You're, you know, Ryan Reynolds or something. I don't know. You know, Brad Pitt. You know, you're just the man. You know. Oh, okay, right. Chris Hemsworth. Yeah, I've got a long way to go to be Chris Hemsworth. We're having a discussion the other day. Sorry, see, when you do this, you distract me and I get onto another track. Jonty and I were discussing Samson and wondering, does he look like Chris Hemsworth or does he look kind of like Woody Allen? You know, like, is he like a dweeb or is he like, you know, this muscular hulky dude, you know? But anyway, that's a bit of a sidetrack. Here's the point, is that whatever you've believed about yourself, unless it's come from God, it's a distorted image. So what have you believed about yourself? What have you believed about who you are? As I was preparing this this week, I was just, as I often do, I just have the notes in front of me and I was just pondering and praying, and God gave me a very unusual picture. And I thought about the picture for a moment and thought, okay, that's just a random thought. As you can see, I have a few of those. But then God said, no, 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 this is why I'm giving you this picture. And here's the picture. It's like I'm watching a movie. And you know when they're breaking someone out of prison in a movie, sometimes they use C4 or something like that, and they don't like just sort of sneak in. Like they blow the wall of the prison off, and then the guy's like, ah, cool, I'm out of here, you know. But here's the thing. I got this image of a person sitting in a cell, didn't realize they were in prison, realizing that they thought their whole world was just that room. And then all of a sudden, boom, the wall of the prison blows off. And then they look out and they go, oh, there's a whole lot more. Here's the thing. Here's an interpretation of that image, if you like. Is that we're all like that. We're all in this prison of how we think about ourselves. Oh, I'm not good enough. Or if I was just a little bit better at school, then I'd be okay. If I was just a little bit prettier, then I'd be okay. If I was just a bit skinnier or a bit fatter or whatever it is, a bit taller, a bit shorter, whatever it is, then I would be accepted by others. We all have these beliefs and conclusions that we've come to around who we are. If I was just talented like these guys on stage, then I'd feel really good about myself. Whatever it is, what's required for you to feel good about who you are and accept who God's called you to be? Whatever it is, it's a conclusion that you've come to more than likely without Christ. And it's that is binding you up, that is causing you to live in spiritual bondage. Now, is that overstating it? You might be going, well, hang on a minute, Warren. You're just talking about, you know, positive self-image and like, oh, yeah, rah, rah, we've got to have positive self-image, not negative self-image. I've heard this from school and blah, blah, Oprah and whatever. No, hang on. It goes a whole lot deeper than this. See, at the core of who you are is your identity in Christ. And when you say, I don't believe that truth, I don't actually believe who God's called me to be, I believe this, you're actually choosing bondage over freedom. You're actually choosing sin over righteousness. You're actually choosing Satan over God. And you might go, whoa, that's pretty heavy. Yeah, it's pretty heavy. And that's why this is an area in people's lives where they often experience the most freedom. Why? Because it goes right down to the core of who we are. Am I okay? And God says, you're okay. Actually, more than okay, I actually really, really like you. Now, how do I know that? There's a whole ton of scriptures that we could look at. Psalm 139 about how God created you even in your mother's womb before you were born. I could look at scriptures like Ephesians 1 where right down through eternity God purposed you and who you are into being. Ephesians 2 verse 10 says you are God's masterpiece. He's designed you and created you to be you, to have the personality you have, to be who you are. We could look at all that. Here's the scripture that really spoke to me. It's in Romans 8. And it starts in verse 16. It says this about those who have come to know Jesus. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit in us, testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now that's not just a general sort of idea, like a nice thought that, you know, you talk to people in the world and you say, what happens after you die? Oh, I think I'll be an angel in heaven. No, it's not this sort of ethereal kind of nice fantasy idea. No, what Paul is expressing here is the actual reality of your identity. This is who you are. The God who created you not just to be one of his minions, he actually created you to be in his family. It's kind of like being royalty and staying in there, not like Harry and Meghan who are kind of doing their own thing, you know, but actually staying in God's family. Now, if we are children, get this, we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. What does that mean? That means if you're an heir to a family fortune, you get it all, right? Yeah. Or you get a share in it at least, you know? So, you know, if you know someone wins Lotto this week and it's a $30 million Powerball jackpot or whatever, and you're part of that family and say, they say, oh, we're going to share it, you get some of this. And that's what Paul is saying here, is we are one with Christ. We're in God's family. We're his children. In other words, we get it all. We get his life. We get his eternity. We get his love, his grace, all of that. We get that's for you. And you go, well, hang on a minute, I don't know, I deserve that. No, you don't deserve it, but it's yours. That's who you are, that's who he created you to be. If indeed we share in his sufferings, as we do in this world, in order that we may share in his glory. There is a glory, there is a life of heaven that we inherit. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. I want you to get your head around that. That one day you stand in heaven and God goes, hey, check this out. This is John Thwaites. I'm proud of this one. He's amazing. And millions of creatures of heaven and people from all through the ages cheer on the glory that's revealed in John Thwaites. That's pretty cool, eh, Jim? He's the hands that goes up. And that's the case for every one of us. The glory that will be revealed in us. And what Jesus is saying is, I'm going to show the world who you really are. And who you really are is a child of mine. Your purpose, your inheritance, your power, your glory. Verse 19, for the creation, in other words, everything in this world, waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Now, I know you're thinking, well, hang on a minute. This is almost too good to be true. Does God love me that much? See, here's the thing. You can only receive God's love. A bit like I was using that example before about the engaged couple. See, you can only receive love, true, genuine love, when you have a good understanding of who you are and that you're worthy of that love. And at the moment, if you're pushing back on that in your spirit and going, I don't know if God really loves me for who I am. Oh, I think he loves some aspects about me. I go to church occasionally and I worship and I'm sure he likes that, but there's a whole lot of other things I'm sure he really doesn't love me. No, you don't get it. At the core of who you are, he loves you for you. I have three children. Sometimes they bring great joy to my heart. Other times they make me rip my hair out. Okay? You can tell them that. It's okay. I tell them that. But do I love them? Even when they are doing something really, really dumb? Yeah, I do. Even when I disagree with their decisions, they're still my kids. I'll still love them. And that's not going to change. And we need to internalize that core love that God has for us. We were singing about it just before. We said, God, let me build my life on the foundation of your love. What does that mean? It means that at the core of who we are, our identity, is built on the love of God, not what others say about you. Not about the conclusion about the words that people have spoken over your life. Not about whether you can do something well or not. Your identity isn't wrapped up in what you do, or how good you are, or how many likes you've got on Facebook, or how many friends follow you on Instagram. It actually doesn't matter. That's not who you are. Interesting, just on that one. Sorry, again, side note. Happened to be watching X Factor. I don't know if you were watching that the other day. This girl who was trying out for X Factor, she admitted this. They asked her how many people follow you on Instagram, and it was something incredible, like 19,000 people or something. Like it was like a huge, huge number. And she said, but I've only got two friends. Just let that sink in for a moment. Her identity was shaped by how many people followed her on Instagram, but in the real world, she struggled to relate to people. I think that's really sad. And it's symptomatic of us, the distorted image that we all live under. We all live with the distorted image of who we are. And what God wants to do tonight is take us on that journey where we abandon the prison cell. We abandon that distorted image. We actually own up for what it is. It's a lie from the pit of hell, and it's keeping us in bondage. And we let God blow off the prison wall and bring us into the freedom of his love. And when you experience that, as you allow God's love to flood into your spirit, all those props that you've used or relied on, and all those words that have been spoken over your life, they just fall away. They just have no power in your life. Because you believe them at the moment, you're giving them power. But as soon as you fully embrace the love of God and rely on that as your only foundation in determining who you are, then everything else doesn't have any power over you anymore. Do you get that? And what we're going to do now is go into that time where we're going to minister into that and speak into that and pray into that. So here's the bit where we engage with God. Here's the bit where we ask God to come and meet with us. So let's stand together. Let's do this. Is everyone here? God wants to take it, wherever we are at on that journey of our identity and who we're relying on, God wants to take us on a journey of bondage to freedom. And even if you've gone on that journey and you know something of that tonight, let's go for more of that. If you've experienced that, you'll want even more of that. You'll want to step into more of that freedom. So let's seek that freedom tonight. Let's seek His love to overwhelm our soul and free us from anything that is not of Him.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.